The McElroy brothers are not experts. And their advice should never be followed. Oh, Travis insists he's a sexpert. If there's a degree in his wall, I haven't seen it. This is the last show of this tour, and I still have to read the damn thing. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool babies?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
My brother and main advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? I'm your middleest brother, Travis Big Dog Woof Woof McElroy.
Greetings, Trav Nation. I'm your sweet baby brother and 30 under 30 media luminary. They can't take it from me, Griffin McElroy.
And we'd like to welcome you, Milwaukee, to the end of the 20 Fungalore tour.
Tonight is a funeral for a friend.
No, it's not sad. See, we do a fixed number of them, and eventually one of them is the last one.
And it's not like announcing that is like, and we're actually done right now and going to leave the stage.
We had 14 seconds of content prepared for you tonight.
So this is the last, I'm sure you all in Milwaukee have probably heard about it before, but Milwaukee dressing rooms are the greatest dressing rooms on the planet.
Jesus Christ.
You all don't understand. We've been on the road for a year now.
Not straight, though.
We've
been on the road for 3 days.
I know, but you that was my joke, and you really undercut my hilarious joke very quickly.
It kicked ass, and then you ruined it.
Well, this is a collaborative show, normally.
In a sense. So... backstage, they have a buck hunting machine. They have somebody that makes coffee, but there's only 8 of us, so they're not very busy.
I was getting dressed in this costume that, man, I'm gonna miss so much.
Griffin, has it started to feel like Griffin is the costume and this is the real you?
No, I know what I am and what's happening here. And I'm growing increasingly tired of dressing as Nintendo's littlest pervert a few nights a month. I was getting changed, and I came out like, all right, guys, it's showtime. And I heard Justin shout, hold on, I have to finish killing this Ibex. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
I've never killed something before I went on stage, especially not one of God's most perfect creatures. And I'm ready to do the show of my life, guys. Watching the life bleed from that digital Ibex, it gave me a high I didn't know I could experience outside of a discotheque.
It's gonna make for a new interesting change to our writer.
Yeah.
Like Justin must kill something before
Justin must
show.
Extinguish the life of
parentheses digital preferred but not required.
Not required. So this is the final show. We have emerged like our friends the Chilean miners back here in Milwaukee. We always try to perform within 100 yards of the Fonzie statue. We like to be able to see it from our dressing room every time we perform in Milwaukee.
We're staying at a different hotel than we usually stay when we come to Milwaukee to do shows. And when Dad found out, he was like, we're not going to see the Fonz statue. As though y'all were just going to tear it down and throw it in the river.
You know, the bronze Fonz.
The bronze Fonz.
But this is still an advice show, as it was at its inception. We take your questions and we turn them alchemy-like into wisdom. And we're going to do that one more time here on the 20 Fungalore tour.
And then 100 times more every live show we do and every recorded show at home. We'll continue to do
that. We actually just crossed recently 100 live shows. Isn't that wild? 100. Wow. It's wild.
I mean, okay. We've been doing it for like 14 years, so that's actually not a great...
Yeah, that's it.
It's not bad.
It's not great.
It's not bad. Better than most. I work at a sportswear store next to a stadium, and a lot of people stop in to get shirts and jerseys to wear to the game. The problem is that sometimes they don't wait to change into their new shirts, and after I finish the transaction, they take their shirts off and change the new one right in front of me. How do I get people to use the changing room instead, or at the very least, get them to leave the register lane before they change clothes? That's from the change I don't wish to see in the world.
Are you here? Hello, so close. Hi.
Travis would want me to tell you he came up with that name and he's very proud of himself.
I am.
It's true. So this is outrageous.
At the very least, they need to get good at that thing where you put the shirt on over the old shirt and then you kind of do a secret shimmy. Seeing a lot of nods out there.
Yeah, a secret move.
That shimmy where you're like, how'd you do that? How'd you do that, Lance Burton?
The dressing room is not good because anybody could go back there with a shirt and be like, yeah, it's fine. I bought it up there earlier. You didn't see. I'm just going to change in here and then leave very quickly.
You are absolutely correct, Justin. You need to have a changing room right next to the register.
As you step out of line, you finish your purchase, you go into a little...
airlock between you and the outside world.
Light lock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Maybe it's a situation where they were hoping to sell their old shirt back to you for store credit.
You should be able to sell your shirt on the spot on consignment.
That's how I do it in Japanese role-playing games, where I'm like, new armor, thank you. Here's my old busted shit. How much you want? You're going to give me 8 coins? Sounds good.
I'm never using it again.
I've never thought about what's happening when you're in that inventory screen
for
the shopkeeper in there, where you're like, ah, thanks for the new armor.
I got 80 bug meat. Do you want that?
I'm going to try that the next time I'm at American Eagle. Like, and also, this shirt, can you break it down to its material components for me? I'd like you to take this dirty old Flying J t-shirt and just break it into 3 cotton. If that seems good. I won't need any more, but can I actually infuse the button down I just bought?
Let me give you all these sandals I found while I was out in dungeons and whatnot.
Do you want candle holders? I got 50.
You, I think you could take a page out of Trader Joe's book, and every time anyone does that, you ring a very loud bell. And if they say, what
a big,
is that?
One of those big, like, town crier bells.
Bong, bong, bong.
Hear ye, hear.
He's doing it again.
Social norms have been broken.
This is a place where a sign would help.
A sign would help.
A sign would help. Please don't.
Here's what's going to happen, though, because this is going to be one of those times where you put a sign up that's like, don't take your shirt off here in front of the register. And people are like, huh, does that happen? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the wording of it is so difficult because you can't just be like, don't get partially nude here, please.
Yeah. Just change on your own time. I mean, it is... It does beg the question, like, do you want them to do it out in the street? that's clearly worse for that person, right?
A fucking great question. Where are they going to change into their new cool jersey shirt?
This is a shirt-changing store.
It is kind of testing the bounds of the no shirt, no shoes policy when you're like, what about just for a second?
But the transaction is complete.
The service is done. That's
the service
true.
Has been rendered. I'm going to do what the fuck I want.
There should be a big light switch next to the register that just blacks out the entire store for a second. Like, you need to change? You got 10 seconds.
Oh, what if you paid a magician to come out and lift up one of those fabric rings? And it's like, wait, ta-da!
Yeah. It's shirt I just bought.
You could...
Oh, shit, it's a tiger! Fuck, get out! Oh,
you could upcharge for that at checkout. Like, as long as I've got you, do you want to sign up for our email list? I didn't think so. And for $10, you can do a magician's change right here in the store. It's like, and a red light goes on in the back. It's like, ah, fuck. All right. Hold on, I'm coming.
It's hard, I bet, finding jobs as magicians now. We should start employing them in our nation's retail clothing outlets.
Yeah.
It might get me out to brick and mortar if I knew a magician. I see way too many of you nodding like, yeah, I've thought about this.
Sorry, uh-huh. I didn't follow that sentence. Did you say there needs to be more brick and mortar magicians out there?
That's what I'm saying. More magicians in brick and mortar stores.
We've
in person.
Lost mom and pop magicians in this country.
Yeah.
Too many magicians on TikTok and YouTube. Whatever happened, you had your this general store.
The rest of the show,
gang. You had
your
post office. You had your magician.
Yeah.
It was all right there.
Mom and pop and magic and prestidigitation. Uh-huh. That was a small town that I grew up in.
Yeah.
Ledger Maine around every corner.
Could you set up an outdoor pop-up tent where you would sell clothes to people who specifically have had 100 light beers to drink that afternoon? You can come in and be like, you're not going to change your shirt in the right place. We understand that. We made a safe store just for you.
We got one of those old-timey beach tents that people used to change into their bathing costumes in.
Yeah.
It's right here, just a big yellow and white striped canvas deal.
It's more of a cool-down tent. Like, we have chairs that are comfortable in front of full-length mirrors so you can really ponder the inner self while you sober up. But also, if you want some merch, some good sports gear.
And all the sports team names are misspelled on the shirts.
It's it doesn't
the best
fucking
we can
matter,
do. You
man.
Don't care.
If we do the right names, we have to pay extra.
Yeah, man.
Sometimes if I get off work early, my walk and commute home from work goes through an area that children leaving school are also walking. Because of this, there are volunteer crossing guards with the vests and the stop signs assisting children crossing. Last week, I went home early, and when I came to a street crossing with a crossing guard and waited for them to tell me what I can do, they looked at me like I was stupid because I'm an adult and I don't need help crossing the street. Brothers, what do adults do when walking up to a volunteer crossing guard for children? That's from Wildly Wavering in the Windy City. Are you here? Hi.
Hi, hello.
Hey, I know you weren't asking here. You didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Yeah, you're fine. I think the problem is that often the best time to cross the street is going to be when the little kid says you could do that. I don't know if it's a little kid in your case. In my school, the safety patrol was little kids with bamboo staffs and one orange.
We did have bamboos, full-ass bamboo staffs.
And we've been trained to fight with them, obviously.
We had white belts and bamboo staffs with one flag on them, one orange flag.
I got fired from the safety patrol.
Why?
So
wow, trash.
I asked too many questions. God, I wish that was a joke.
So, your authority is already pretty tenuous because you are the same height as your clientele. And I think an adult just kind of blowing past you really doesn't help that at all.
This is what I'm saying is, the other option besides, deferring to their expertise is to completely ignore them and go when you feel like it, which is way worse than you do to another human being.
Yeah, unacceptable.
It's not your fault that the safest time to cross the street may be when they say. I mean, that's just going to line up sometimes, and you do have to wait to cross with a little kid.
This is the problem, Justin. What you really did there was highlight for them that their job is to point out that the light has changed and it's cool to go. It's like and the second you're like, let me know when the lights change, they're like, I get it. You don't need me.
as a driver, I do enjoy, though, when the crossing guard is like, do not worry about this stop sign. You are so fucking cool. Just cruise on by. And I always give a little tip of the cap, like, ooh, that's two and a half seconds saved on my commute. Thank you, sir.
Wait, hold on. The crossing guard says, don't stop here?
The crossing guard will, as
that's not their job. They can't overrule, do that, Griffin.
Crossing guards in real cities sometimes will overrule the traffic lights because they got to start running stuff.
You look at the person
first. They don't have that authority.
They do, yeah. I assure you.
If you got pulled over for running a stop sign and said, it's cool, the guy in the neon green vest said I could.
Yeah, Trav.
Yeah, man.
Are you telling me that you have situations where you arrive at an intersection and the crossing guard is like, come on, and you're like, no, I think I know
because
best
Because I assume his brother-in-law, the cop, is 10 feet farther down the road.
Damn, that does.
And they're like working together.
That does sound like cop tricks.
I'm not checking that crossing guard's papers to make sure he's an actual crossing guard.
So flip side, if the guy says stop and the light changes green, you're like, meh, sorry, pal.
You move. No, you move. I'm in a
You're
car.
Going right out into it. The light said it was smart.
I have had crossing guards, and I respect this immensely, where they will stare me down as they're holding a sign to let kids cross as if I was going to go, fuck those kids. I was like, yeah, I also know.
I have had that when you're the first car and the crossing guard kid looks at you like, not so fast. I'm like, chill out.
Yeah, man.
Okay?
Oh, man. I got one of those the day before we came out on tour. I stopped at a stop sign. A kid crossed and went, I was fully 0 miles an hour. Like, yeah, fucking yeah, dude. Kid, I get it, dude.
Yeah. I don't need an expert here in a little sash to tell me not to hit kids with my car.
Thank you. I wasn't gonna.
I wasn't gonna.
I want a munch.
I want to munch.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast. Profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating. Today I got an exciting bit of news for you. Two pieces of news. Two small stories. A couple of Munch Squad.
They're changing hamburgers.
Nope.
It's meat, bread, meat now.
No. KFC already did that, I'm sure.
Fuck.
Scooter's Coffee releases menu lineup inspired by Candyland Game.
What?
I love Candyland Game.
All right, let's holiday season. All the gang, let's meet the gang in these Candyland-inspired games, Paul. Let's go to the first one. First up is the Mr. Mint Mocha.
Okay.
Your adventure to the Candy Castle is going to begin when you scoot on around to one of our 825 Scooter's Coffee locations in 30 states nationwide. New menu items are available that bring together the sweet adventure of Candyland with new and returning holiday favorites. First up, the Mr. Mint Mocha.
Can I just say?
Yeah, we
Mr.
have a lot.
Mr. Mint
yeah.
there. Yeah. I've never thought about this before. Whatever he's gesturing to is a trap.
Oh.
Don't, because you're going to reach for it or walk through, and he's going to cut you in half.
I think he's saying.
Yeah, do it.
I think he's saying, stand here if you want the best possible angle on my 8 wonderful testicles. My 8 enormous. My two, what I call my 4 testicles, the front, they form a sort of butt, which is exciting for everyone.
My axe is made of my legs.
My blade is leg meat.
Next up. Yeah, he's got a mint hot chocolate and a mint mocha.
But so this one's a mystery. You can't see what's in that one.
Okay.
And then
so did they not have, like, transparent PDF or PNG art of Queen Frostine?
Queen Frostine has a sugar cookie latte, and Queen Frostine has a couple. And then let's see the last character time to meet Paul. It's Grim. It's, Jolly Grumdrop. Look at that cutie patootie. Who doesn't want to eat that?
No, Paul, go back.
Don't you skip on Jolly.
Because what I want to talk about here, I cannot imagine a texture combination worse than having a drink with gumdrops
in
it.
Oh, shit, man.
They're at the bottom. They're at the bottom. At the end, it's like, ugh.
It's like they said, hey, you know how boba tea's popular? Now imagine they can't pass through a straw and might kill you.
These are noba tea. Do not pass go. Hey, is there another character?
Yeah. That's King Candy. They got a
Did
cake.
Did you say something about testicles?
So that's a cake bite infusing white cake with fizzy popping candy and coating each bite with white candy.
He has 6 external testicles and a chest bristling with little breasts.
This is my breastplate.
That fucking rules. I could think of like 12 different parades this guy could lead as the marshal.
Only 2 of them are illegal.
Yes.
And Paul, I think it's finally time to meet her, Grandma Nut. So this lady's name is Grandma Nut. Did you know that? It's Grandma Nut Latte, a warm and comforting creation featuring cinnamon, brown sugar, and hazelnut. That's Grandma Nut.
It's a real shame Grandma Nut lost her neck in the war.
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Grandma.
Grandma who?
Whoa, Grandma Nut? What?
Grandma Nut.
Is this from the Candyland?
Yeah, I just asked Paul to get a bunch of pictures of Grandma Nut. So I could talk about Grandma Nut.
Is that a scarecrow made of popcorn in the back contemplating its very existence?
Just don't look at Grandma Nut, for Christ's sake.
No.
If you meet her eyeline, she's going to talk about all of her nuts, and she won't stop. That's a lot, Grandma Nut.
Her name's really great. Here she's got full pockets full of nuts. 2 big pockets of nuts. 2 big sacks.
And a dog you can put things in.
That sucks. That dog is really troubling. How come some of them's is food and this is a woman with a basket dog?
Okay.
Some of them are food. That's an inanimate dog basket.
Yeah.
Basket ain't food or people.
Okay. Just hear those sleigh bells ringling, ring ting tingling too. Yes, that's right, folks. It's holiday time. This is the Candyland drinks. It doesn't matter. Salt and Straw is launching an ice cream lineup inspired by upcoming holiday movie Red One.
This looks like artificial intelligence made it. Is this a real fucking flick?
This
cast?
Is a movie that every time I'm reminded it exists, I realize I've completely forgotten it exists until the next time.
Yeah. It's the shittiest Golden Compass adaptation.
This is a movie that, judging by the trailers, a lot of people think that a lot of the movies I like mean I'll like this, and they have been wrong every single time so far. They have not been right yet. This is a movie where Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Chris Evans star in Red One.
None of those people were in the same place when that picture was
no
taken.
No fucking way.
Especially that polar bear.
We've got, so the important thing is that Dwanta Claus is back for, I think, the fifth year with some new creations with Salt and Straw. They're all inspired by this movie. They got a naughty and nice ice cream cake with a little tiny picture of Dwanta Claus on it, which I think is so cute.
Can we enhance the Dwanta Claus image at all? Because it does
enhance.
I'm drunk.
Shit, man.
In my cake. I'm Dwanta.
Are we sure that's the best we can do with that?
We can get pictures of him. He's real. We could get a picture of The Rock and put
it on
there.
I would even prefer Dwanta, I think. Like, get the full. Yeah, right?
Nice. Oh, I thought you meant the image.
The image is also wild, yeah. It looks like if Dwayne The Rock Johnson was a Santa Claus Neopet for some...
So, the thing that I like about Dwanta Claus is that Dwanta Claus is not exclusive to any one brand. Dwanta Claus can be used to market, like, his line of energy drinks when they have holiday flavors.
Awesome.
Any sort of holiday offering can be marketed to you by Dwanta Claus, who is like his Coca-Cola Santa... who comes just out at holidays.
Right.
And for like November to December, he's Dwanta Claus. Don't even call for Dwayne. He's not around. So this cake is naughty and nice. Each has a unique and indulgent combination of perfectly constructed flavors. No one does naughty like our friend Dwanta.
No one? What? Hold on. What?
That's something like your drunk aunt says at a party. And you're like, wait, no. Cheryl, go back. Go back. What'd you say?
No one does naughty like our friend Dwanta.
Okay.
So who better to help us dream up seven layers of devilish decadence in our first ever handcrafted ice cream cake, as if a sweet, sinful nightcap collided with our favorite peanut butter cup candy, wink.
Why does it really wink?
No, it's just that's me. It's Reese's. Dwayne has two different cakes for you.
Who?
Dwanta.
Thank you.
Or Column Drift, as he's literally called in the movie.
No.
So you can get, Salt and Straw is also doing some ice creams. They've got the Commander of the ELF PB Chocolate Crinkle, which is a hearty tribute to Column Drift's power-packed meals.
Cool, man.
Yeah,
I love this guy, for sure.
Yeah, he's like a character I know about. Would love to eat an ice cream about him.
Yeah.
When I saw the Christmas Red One movie and saw Rock in it, I thought I'd love eating an ice cream about him.
It's the North Pole's ultimate indulgence for strength and cheer.
Holy shit, cool.
Sure.
This also, though, could be like a promo image saying like, what do you mean you don't say Merry Christmas?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's very threatening in that way.
It's a Christmas buddy comedy starring Dwayne Johnson and Kirk... Fuck, I can't
Cameron.
Remember. Cameron. Shit, it would have been better if I could remember his goddamn last name.
Santa has a flavor, too. It's red.
Oh, wait, just stop there. Yeah. Santa has a flavor.
Of ice cream. Show Chris Evans. That dork doesn't have a flavor.
No way.
Jack O'Malley, I doubt it. Next. Yeah, so Santa has a flavor.
And an aroma, I'd imagine.
Capturing the essence of Santa's favorite cookie platter.
This How come from, like, every time they do, a real-life Santa now for, like, the last 10 years, he's kind of dingy.
Oh, he's dingy and fucking built.
Yeah, man, he's swole. He's got an eggnog custard swirled through his ice cream. And lastly, there's Krampus's mince pie with pecan crust. This is inspired by the spirited mischief of Krampusnacht.
That's not really from the movie. You made that up.
This flavor
right?
recreates a classic mincemeat pie with a twist. The twist
it's
is.
It's human meat.
It's humans. It's got the unmistakable warmth of the holiday spices. You can get these naughty and nice ice cream cakes available for a limited time at Salt
That's
and Straw locations.
That's not appetizing at
now the,
all.
The nice one looks like wood chips, and the top one looks like chocolate cookies and stuff.
Well, they're all available for you in store now. Thank That's you. Your Munch Squad for this week. Thank you for your
Duancha.
Attention. I am helping a friend. Okay. You ready? I'm helping
Wait,
a friend.
Give me a second.
Yes, yeah. Please.
I'm helping a friend organize a celebration of life after their distant relative passed away.
It's they pretty have, fucking funny so far.
They have asked me to provide a pasta dish for an event that could have anywhere between 5 and 50 people attending. I did not know their relative and have never talked to my friend about pasta preferences. Brothers, what is the best pasta to bring to a celebration of life? And that's from Pasta Problems. Are you here? Okay,
Hello.
Hi. So I do want to say, pursuant to your question, I do think it's the most important thing. What aside from the pasta choice, and aside from the fact that it is for a celebration of life, which is in and of itself pretty wild, what on earth could make it so that they don't know if 5 people will come to this funeral?
Yeah, yeah.
Or 50.
We are talking about completely different venue requirements at that point.
For starters, and like, what happened in your life that maybe some people know about, but a lot of people might know about, and they're not going to come, but maybe it didn't get out, and maybe not as many people know as I think know, and we'll get like 20, but if everybody knows, there might be 5.
I would think with a wake with 50 people would be catered, so I would imagine this is going to land closer to the smaller end. Immediate gut reaction, one of the spirally fun ones. I don't think you can go full-blown.
One long, continuous strand of spaghetti.
There it is.
Because love binds us all together.
Yeah.
Like one long, continuous strand of spaghetti.
It extrudes directly into a pot, and there's 9 minutes of pasta inside the pot.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
being drawn out the other end.
Cool.
Through an unextruder, being drawn onto a plate. There's snip where they have the amount. You can make basically infinite.
Well, okay, but we yeah,
here's what you do. You lay out all the pasta, and depending on how many people are going to be there, there will be more spokes to the wheel. Everybody start eating at the same time. One big kiss in the middle.
Okay, hold on. So hold on.
Yeah, no.
Travis has just invented. Okay, I didn't know this was an option. Travis's answer is basically you invent a new pasta shape. It has a central, rock-hard nucleus.
Other podcasts have done it,
yes.
But now we are taking our
There's
shot.
A central, rock-hard nucleus on this pasta.
Inedible.
And then 5 to 50 strands of pasta coming off of it. Everyone slurps at the same time to meet in the middle of a fucking bodacious, so sexy, so sexual 50-way kiss.
You're going to see some people eating slower or faster than others, and you're going to have to be coaching as you go. Slow down.
Well, no, you can't talk, so be like...
And I think what we're going to need is some vats of sauce that you can pivot around to and could sort of like dip it in, like let it... Let it kind of droop.
Through
let the
a slack, bowl of sauce
yeah.
as
let
you
the
go.
The slack
yes.
come up through the sauce ravine.
But yeah. what if
maybe some kind of attachment where the sauce is just right? Sorry, I have to talk in the microphone. The sauce is right in front of your mouth, so as you eat,
that
it's
would
just
be better
through.
To have a boat of sauce.
Yes.
Here,
oh, I see.
It's getting coated as you go.
Or you don't even have to coat it, Trav. If you just take out like one lick of the sauce
oh, okay.
as you go,
you combine
yes.
it in your
okay,
mouth
great.
For the
yes,
primo
yes, yes.
pasta experience.
Maybe start with a mouthful of sauce to begin with.
That's pasta, baby.
After this arcane ritual has completed, the ghost of the loved one appears and is like, yes, just what I wanted.
How did you know, Derek's friend, that I was a massive pasta pervert?
In accordance with my detailed specification.
Show me the talented chef that could craft this grand pasta design.
That's what it is. It's going to start with 50, and you're cutting it down to 5 of who can make it to the end of the pasta fastest. And the first five get five equal portions of their billions of dollars, I assume?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I don't even want to do any more for this question. That's a kick-ass idea. Novelty 50-way pasta for big kisses.
Hi, we're the McRoy Brothers, and we'd like to introduce you to...
Sharks, we'll make this quick. We got 50-way pasta for a big old kiss out of Wake.
They say no, Griffin. They're saying no. That was quick. Thanks, Sharks. I appreciate it. It's as far as they let us get. A few years ago, I inherited a postage stamp collection from an estranged uncle. The collection is massive, taking up about a third. That's weird, by the way. I didn't realize this when I read the question initially, but it is kind of weird that your uncle's like, no, I'm not going to call him, but they can have my stamps when I die.
That's usually the beginning of an intense mystery.
Yeah, the sure. Collection is...
Who murdered your uncle?
The collection is massive, taking up about a third of the spare room in which they're currently stored. After speaking with multiple collectible dealers, I have learned that in 2024, these stamps are basically worthless. No one will buy them, and they're only worth their postage value, if that. They're just taking up space in my house at this point. Brothers, what should I do with several thousand stamps? That's from Perplexed by Postage in Pleasant Prairie.
Are you here? Hello.
You say it's strange. Is it possible that he didn't like you?
Travis!
Hey!
Did you go to his house one time and you were like, why are you storing all of these stamps in their own individual 6x6-inch boxes that would occupy one third of a whole room of a house? Stamps are so small. I have to imagine as a stamp collector, one of the premium benefits is that the thing you're collecting is so fucking small. How's it taking up a third of a room?
I think that you should burn these. Now listen, I have a good rationale for this. Do you want to hear it? Okay.
You're all complicit now in mail crime?
The stamps don't have feelings. The stamps don't give a shit. You wasted so many of your fucking life minutes figuring out if these are worth a goddamn cent. And the answer is no. And if you store these fucking anywhere... Eventually, a descendant of yours is going to come and do the same goddamn rigmarole again. Just burn the fucking stamps, dude.
Or.
No. They had their fun. They collected them. It was fun for them. That's collections, baby.
Unless.
It was fun.
I also have an unless. So do your unless.
Okay, unless.
If they're worthless, it's because there's a lot of these other bad boys floating around. You need to burn those stamps.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's you're good. Going on a nationwide hunt, maybe worldwide, to find
now
the other stamps that match these.
Now this is crime. Now this is criminal.
Unless.
Wait, for clarity's sake, are you unlessing me or Travis?
I'm unlessing originally you.
Okay.
Travis's idea is fucking ironclad. No holes whatsoever.
Okay. So that's like one that's like, that one's done and solved.
You
okay,
got
that's like one bulletproof. Let's
a
see
nationwide tiny arson streak.
So unless.
Unless
you park these bad boys in a storage unit, which you do not pay the second month's fee of, and you let it go delinquent, and then you sit and you tune in to fucking Discovery, and you wait and you watch, you see fucking Europe, and you're like, nope, motherfucker, I know the answer to this storage unit. It's a bunch of shitty stamps, idiot.
And then one of the collectors who said it was worthless shows up and goes, yeah, actually, that's worth a lot of money. I'll take it. And you're like, the long con.
Yeah.
Dave and that guy were working together. That's
also,
what you gotta watch out for.
Stamps do cost money to send them, which seems so strange to me because we advertise for a place that is like all about streamlining that entire industry. But it's like, how much is stamps now? Like 50?
74 cents?
74 cents. Hold on. Let me.
Don't search for it. It's not funny.
You should be able to mail a stamp collection for free. No postage on it, right?
No problem.
Okay,
yeah, there's postage inside.
Oh, I didn't put a stamp on it, you say?
It's 73 cents on average
times
3,000 stamps? Does that sound like a good...
Well, they're not new stamps in the collection. This isn't thousands of stamps they went and bought today.
No. You misunderstand. These stamps are worth exactly 73 cents. If there's 3,000 of them, that's $2,190.
Unless they're forever stamps, but go on. Okay.
I'm saying you run your own tiny independent post office outside of your house. I apologize. A lot of my solutions today are pop-up shops, but... This is like you post up. I think you could even do it in front of the post office and be like, for 72 cents.
I can give you this old one that's already been used, I think. I don't know how stamp collecting works.
No, it's got to be sticky. You can't. It's got to be sticky, untouched.
Hey,
primo.
It just occurred to me, but there's definitely people who have gone and bought thousands and thousands of forever stamps, and they're like, in 50 years?
Yeah, of course, man.
Are going to be worth
so much.
Yeah,
it's an investment.
That's the thing, right?
Of course, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I bought, I got a storage unit recently, and right. I hope I end up on Storage Wars someday.
What's
I
would,
well, not you. I would You're not in the storage unit, Justin.
No. But like my storage unit, I would love to have like Daryl or one of the gang be like, today I'm talking to my book expert friend about how much I can expect for these 200 copies of Everybody Has a Podcast Except for You.
Leslie Worthless? I owe you money for looking at them?
Wow.
Shit.
Can you dispose of them for a reasonable... No. They're toxic? What? To burn? Yeah?
Wow.
Hey.
But go get yours available at any store I see today.
Start your search at the bargain table and then work back from there.
It'll be in a section that is labeled books that came out like 5 years too late. I'm narrow casting to the
that's
two
it,
other people
that's
on
in
this
our,
stage
yeah,
right now.
That's in our hubris section.
To be fair, it was our fault because no one was making podcasts during the pandemic.
Oh, no, wait.
We did time it perfectly, actually.
Fuck. No excuse. Quality of the pros, they say. We have to move on.
I grew up skateboarding, and I've taken it up again as an adult. The problem is I'm very short, just shy of 5 feet tall, so when people see me skating around, they often mistake me for a child. It gets super awkward when it's another adult that starts talking to me like I'm a child, and I have to break the news that I'm, in fact, 31 years old. Brothers, when I'm out skateboarding, how do I say to the world that I'm a grown adult with a mortgage and not 13 years old? And that's from Really Short King in Racine.
Are you here? Hi.
Yes. When an adult talks to you like you're a child, I can't imagine seeing what I think is a child skateboarding and being like, I'm going to engage.
Yeah, that's also wild. Although there are, I get TikToks sometimes of a kid beefing it on a half pipe, and then some young Tony Hawk looking guy skates over like, you got to put your balance on the back foot. When you lean forward, give it everything you got. You got to believe in everything you can do. You can do it. Believe in yourself. And then they do it, and everyone's like, yeah. And they're like crying. They're like, thank you, young Tony Hawk. And I wish so bad someone would do that for me.
Yeah. Just like believe in you that much?
In skateboarding?
In everything, I guess.
Yeah.
And I can think of some stuff. I can use like a young Tony Hawk.
Or Tony Hawk.
That would be good too, obviously. Yeah,
I was just thinking about like my worry would be that if somebody started treating me like a 13-year-old, I might just sort of roll with it.
Vibe on it, yeah.
So like, yeah, man, yeah, totally. So like, what should I do? So as long as you're a grown-up, what's going on, man? What should I do different? Okay.
You could carry a copy of your mortgage around with you everywhere you go.
In a briefcase.
In a briefcase.
What are TV shows that only adults like? Crime Scene Kitchen.
Only a few adults like that, I think.
Yeah, but like...
I think it's mostly you and Sydney.
But no kids. Only Murders in the Building? No kids are watching that,
no
right?
Way.
If you wore your Only Murders in the Building t-shirt, I guarantee you no one is going to mistake you for a 13-year-old.
Just as you're skateboarding, like, mutter about how difficult it is to get things for, like, insurance to pay for.
Yeah.
Like, as you're skating, be like, am I gotta get a new roof?
You could signal it the way I signal it, and when you fall, just lay there for 5 minutes, like, God damn it. It hurts.
They're not getting up. Yeah, don't go. If they were a kid, they'd have spry bones. They'd
they have a bounce up by now.
That's a grown up. You could tell by the writhing.
Yeah, they've been there for 7 full minutes.
Yeah, they're laying there muttering about how no one's going to have any sympathy for them for them doing this.
Have you tried skateboarding so fucking good that no one will even say shit to you at all?
That's so cool, dude.
You
got to
take
that.
Your knocks on the park and on the vert ramp because that's how you get there. You think Tony Hawk didn't have people confusing him for a child all the time?
Yeah.
Probably not. He's enormous.
Yeah, he's always been like 6'8".
He's a huge man.
Huge. What the hell? Sorry, this is weird. There's not normally a Munch Squad and a Haunted Doll Watch in the same episode.
I would say it's literally never happened, and you're pulling out all the stops for the final live show of the 20 Fungalore Tour.
And Justin, I'm just going to go ahead and take the segment I definitely put a lot of work into preparing and throw that away.
Wow, Trav. No, you know what?
Do it now.
No, Justin, I don't want to steal your thunder.
Trav, go ahead and do it right now.
All right, we're going to do a live sadly.
No, we're not. Okay. Go ahead, Juice.
All right. Haunted Doll Truman.
Huh.
You're purchasing.
What?
Oh, God.
It's okay. I need you to trust me right now.
You're my brother, and I do
not. I know you're scared, and you should be scared because it's your show, but you're scared. Trust me. Thank you. Fair. Okay. This is, all right. Meet Truman. Ever since I brought Truman in, I didn't feel a child with him.
What?
Are you kidding? Because Truman's holding a picture of a child.
We'll get there.
Did you read the full title of Truman?
Yeah, Meet Truman. Haunted Doll Truman, Stuffed Animal Grandfather. Okay. Okay. Haunted Doll Truman. Meet Truman. Ever since I brought Truman in, I didn't feel a child with him. The seller I got him from had him advertised as a child. I hate that. I just felt I needed him to find out what was really going on. Truman is actually the grandfather of this young child.
Okay.
Huh.
How? Okay.
Huh.
Okay. Her dad was sick.
Okay.
Apparently, before the baby was born, the child's mother had a fight with her family. Her dad was sick with emphysema and expected to live not long, and his dying wish was to meet the child. It ended up his daughter and his wife couldn't come to an agreement for her to be able to visit her father. He just says that he will never forgive his wife for not letting the family come together knowing he was so sick. He clipped onto this photo so that he could be the grandpa that he wanted to be if he would have survived. Now,
stop.
Now, hold on.
We have
hold
to
on,
talk
hold
about
on, hold
everything
on, hold
you
on,
just
hold on.
Said.
Every part of it is wild.
So you're telling me,
yes,
canonically,
uh-huh,
this grandfather died.
Within the canon, yes.
Before his...
So far,
in fiction, you're right.
Went into that stuffed animal.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then the rest of the family was like, well, time to get rid of grandpa. We'll leave this picture of the child with him, though.
I thought it was the grandpa hadn't yet died, wanted to visit the kid. The mom and wife wouldn't let him, so he was like, guess I'll die, and hopped into this fucking Beanie Baby.
But then what I'm saying is, either way, they got rid of grandpa in the doll and sent a picture of their baby with him.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had to know grandpa was in the doll.
And now he's on fucking eBay, which is like the saddest part of all. That's someone's grandpappy. He fought in one of the world wars.
By the way, his message, if you're curious, was to try to honor a person's last wish before they pass because the grief followed him to his death.
Oh, bummer.
Truman likes hardtacks and coffee once in a while.
Wait, hard tacks?
Hard tack like Civil War bread, I guess?
He hates scurvy.
All right, next up, let's meet a pair of gents. Thank you, Paul.
Shit.
Paul had so many. Let's meet Haunted Doll, Luke, and Joseph, best friends.
Two for one. Oh, yeah, I like them.
Oh, I like their vibe a lot.
Yeah, these guys fucking kick ass, dude.
Can I just say, Seashell Blessings here, the seller, 560 ratings, 100% positive.
Yeah, I mean, look at this shit, Trav. It's undeniable.
This is their second Seashell Blessings. We're celebrating them this time. Meet Luke, palm tree, and Joseph. So Luke's by the palm tree. Joseph is standing.
Yeah, I cracked
the cipher, Juice.
Yeah. The pair were best friends from early childhood all the way through high school. I found these guys when we were on vacation, and they are definitely something else. I actually heard a man whistle as I walked away from them, and I turned back around, and no one was there. It was the weirdest thing. I felt compelled to purchase them, even though it was more than I wanted to spend. These guys are awesome.
Yeah.
They are definitely from the 60s.
Wait, just to jump back, they heard a man whistle, but there was no one there, and then they bought them from someone.
Yeah, once I brought them home, I gave them an offering of whiskey, and boy, they were lighting up like crazy.
That look like?
There has been a lot of experiences that I've had just since having them. They basically just like being teenage guys.
That one's vaping.
That is a fucking vape rig, Travis. You are 100% right. It's a big one. It's a big one, but I've seen some big ones.
So, but if they're from the 60s, what were they kicking around in until vapes were invented?
Just like super quick, I want to mention that Lucas mentioned he was trying to save a child when he got caught in a riptide and got sucked in, and then Joseph realized his best friend's in trouble, and he obviously went to help, so they died. But these two are really a funny pair, and I've enjoyed them, even if it was for a short time. They communicate with all forms of divination. I love these two guys.
Again, I have to question the nature of premeditated doll becoming. Did they have a question, like a conversation at some point? Like, hey, dude, I had a great idea. We're best friends. What if we died and became like Redondo Beach boardwalk tchotchkes forever?
I also love the idea that when I die, my ghost might suddenly become good at divination. Like, can you imagine getting a ghost like, help me with divination? Like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? I don't know how to do that.
We got one more to meet.
Juice, I can't even read all these words in sequence, dude.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. Let's just meet the doll. It's negative haunted doll. Predator is... He knows what he did. He knows exactly what he did.
He looks very contrite, to be fair.
I genuinely almost fell backwards in my chair. I had to catch Travis's chair to catch myself.
Paul, don't go to the last picture yet.
This is his hat a brush?
Yeah, his hat's a brush. This vessel is the home of the human spirit, Tony. His energy is negative, and he has sexual predatory behavior. He enjoys the company of women and will gladly communicate with a woman via definition. Tony's spirit has entered my dreams and caused disturbing sexual dreams. His spirit also tends to explore on your body. There have been nights where I can hear him breathing heavy next to my bed. Be wary of welcoming Tony into your home. Tony doesn't do well with other spirits. Though he's left my pets alone, I would be cautious of welcoming him into a home with men. Tony! Hey, folks, we are going to take a break, and I would like you to go use the bathroom and buy posters before I show you this.
Posters by Sydney Dean.
And I just want to go on this final picture of Tony, who's still available for sale, and then we're going to go. Okay, everybody, have a good intermission. Go ahead, Paul. Tony, you know what you did!
We'll be right back.
You know what you did, Tony!
It's better with you.
Hello, I was drinking some Gatorade Sport Fuel.
I understand. And can I tell you, maybe that's the reason I'm looking at you right now. Your aura is off the charts.
Thank you. I've been doing a sort of energy cleanse juice situation where I look at pictures of my loved ones for 8 hours a day, and I'm drinking this crazy, crazy juice. I'm just shitting my brains out.
Hey, can I just say, I'm glad that you're taking the time to look at pictures of your loved ones. 8 hours a day as both your brother and co-worker on a lot of projects, that's very troubling.
Well, the Aura Frames makes it so easy to look at beautiful pictures of your family and your loved ones.
But 8 hours?
Sure. A day? Yeah, I mean, that's why Aura Frames is the best gift you can give someone this time of year. It's because Aura Frames is a beautiful digital picture frame that you can upload unlimited photos and videos directly from your phone right to the frame. It's great for you if you want an 8-hour cleanse.
Well, okay. See, that's where it shifts, because I like the part where it's easy to upload the photos and you get all your photos and stuff on there. I think that the part that's kind of tripping me up is where you sit, I assume, in like silence by yourself.
No, it's not a group meditation situation.
So to appreciate your family more, you remove yourself from their presence for 8 hours a day to stare at pictures of them.
Yes, they get it. And grandma and grandpa don't know how anything works. And so these digital frames, you can upload the pictures to them for them. And then all of a sudden, they won't be taking screenshots of Facebook with their phone and then posting that on Facebook. Also, you just have Aura Frames there ready to give them what they need. I have an Aura Frame. I love it. We've given it as a Christmas present to many, many folks. And if you're struggling to figure out what to get that special someone, save on the perfect gift by going to AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames by using promo code MYBROTHER at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code MYBROTHER. This deal is exclusive to our listeners, so get yours now in time for the holidays. Terms and conditions apply.
You know what I do for 8 hours a day, Griffin?
What's that? Don't say crank.
No, God, not for 8 hours?
Okay, I don't know.
Oh my God, the chafing. No, I just peruse the internet.
That's actually probably true and real.
And I'm thinking that at this point, the internet has given me so much, Griffin. It's been such a force for good in my life with no downsides.
Sure.
And now I think it's time for me to give back.
Yeah.
And maybe like create stuff to put on the internet and finally start putting some content out there. But I have no idea how to do it.
What have we been doing? What are we doing right now?
Well, this is just two brothers talking. Usually it's three brothers talking for our own enjoyment. We should start doing something with this, though.
This bit is confusing to me, and I don't know how to contribute to it. So I'm going to go ahead and say the word Squarespace out loud.
Oh,
so
that's a great idea.
I'm going to say the word Squarespace out loud so that technically, according to the documents we signed, this one counts as an advertisement.
By the Geneva Advertising Convention, this is now an advertisement. I didn't know where to put any of this content. We have hundreds and hundreds of hours of recorded stuff, and we've never known what to do with it.
Yeah.
And now we can use Squarespace, was it you said?
So, yeah, we usually upload these audio files to a Riz, and then people grab the Riz where they want it, and then
they just skibbity all over the place. Am I saying that right?
You're saying it right, but it's wrong to have said it.
Oh, okay.
So Squarespace lets you design beautiful websites, engage with your audience, sell anything from products to content to your time all in one place, all in your terms. It's so easy to make a website that looks like you know what the fuck you're doing with Squarespace. They've got all kinds of tools and just industry-leading design expertise ready to help you build a sophisticated web portal tailored to your unique needs. A portal, and you can climb in the screen. No, you can't. But
don't
feels
do that.
Like
even if you could, don't do that.
Don't do that. That's how the lawnmower man gets you. Squarespace Payments is the easiest way to manage your payments in one place. You can hook it up to whatever payment options you want, like Apple Pay or card, whatever.
Your friend Derek, who will go and collect the money for you.
I don't know if Squarespace Payments will get Derek. But
okay, maybe next year.
Most other stuff they can do. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
And as long as we're plugging things right now, packages are on sale for Champions Grove, the immersive tabletop gaming event that is now my second year organizing and planning and everything. It's going to be at Ravenwood Castle in Hocking Hills, Ohio. We had such a blast last year that we're doing it again.
This time, you will need to pay me $125. If you want me to sit here during this paid ad spot for Champions Grove.
I'll have Derek come over and bring
you
$125.
I hugely in this process. I think Champions Grove is a wonder. But if you're going to make me sit here during our paid advertising time, it will cost you $100.
Well, at this point, you're just wasting your own time. So let me finish the pitch. Okay. So this year, we're doing 4 days instead of last year's three. And thankfully, I Need Diverse Games stepped in and made a huge sponsorship so that every ticket, we could keep the price down. And I think we kept it at the same price it was last year, if not close.
But you get an extra day for the same
price? You get an extra day. Yeah.
You fool. You're pissing money away out the toilet.
Well, yeah, I have seen my doctor about that, and they say it's normal.
It's weird. When Travis pisses in the toilet, it always goes around the bowl and shoots right back out. It doesn't make any sense at all.
It is wild. Anyways, you can go to championsgrove.com. It's going to be Memorial Day weekend there at the end of May. Come hang out with us for 4 days. We're bringing out some great tabletop creators and people to play games with you guys. We're going to have a bunch of different events. Go to championsgrove.com for the packages, and we'll see you there.
Here's the rest of the show.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depression Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? We're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depression Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Austin.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
We are going to now call some folks down to the microphone, which I believe is here, stage left, house right, right up here up front. Please don't come to the microphone if we do not call you. And I wish I lived in a world where I didn't have to say specifically, explicitly that. We'll call you down by your name and seat number when you come down. If you want to give us your name, your pronouns, if you would like, and we'll get into your question.
Also, just want to take a moment to say thank you all for being here.
Yes.
And joining us. I can see you all now.
Okay.
I just wanted to show a little gratitude.
I appreciate it. No, I just wanted to say, as long as we're talking about stuff, and I know other Griffin is at the microphones. Hold on 1 second. This is such a beautiful theater. If you didn't take a moment to sort of like absorb it, it's freaking
fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. And actually, as you leave that way, they've got some samples of the molding and the I'm the only person.
No, they let you, you can see samples of the chandelier and you can taste them. Because if you're like me, you've been looking at it going, I wonder what that tastes like. You on your way out, just
yeah,
lick.
Yeah, man, for sure. I'd love to chow down on that light fixture on the ceiling.
I'm just saying this is, that we go to a lot of places and this is such a beautiful place. And thank you for
thank
having
you,
us
Pabst.
Here.
Okay. Thank you, Papa. Let's start. Hello.
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 I'm sorry my brother called you Other Griffin.
That's all right. It's a wonderful
I mean, comment. He's right, but I'm the sorry lights, it happened.
The lights are pretty dark, so you just kind of look like my brother.
How tall are you?
5'11".
I'm 5'10", so it's pretty fucking close, honestly.
Okay.
Sounds like a real 5'10" thing to say, Griffin.
Okay. Sorry, that was funny. It
I'm
was
not
funny.
Sure what it means.
It's a funny
good.
Joke, though. Yeah, yeah. It's good. Yeah.
All right.
Birthday
yeah.
boys.
Yeah, birthday boys. Take that, Griff.
So, hello.
Hello. I sent in two questions. Which one is it?
You are Josh.
I am.
I
have one about flashlights and I have one
flashlights
about...
Flashlights is definitely Josh. The one we want to get into, Josh. Thank you so much.
So I work for a tool company and...
So do I.
Griffin.
We got him, dude. You got him.
Wait. Hold on.
All right, Josh, go ahead.
Over the course of my career, I have accrued at least... 10 flashlights, 10 unique flashlights, and
what
I
makes them unique.
They're used for all sorts of different fun things. One of them has a mouth guard that you can bite down on.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Shining out, right?
Yeah, it's not.
Wait, no. Did you think it was a mouth-based internal flashlight?
I'm just saying I've never had whatever oscopy goes in that way, but they definitely don't want you to bite the thing in half, right?
Are any of them like really bright?
Yes,
I love that.
Most of them.
Yeah. How bright?
It hurt if you looked at them.
It hurt if you looked at it?
Yeah.
About what we were looking for, Josh.
If you all haven't gotten out there, and I think Josh will back me up on this. If you all have not gotten out there to buy yourself a flashlight, and I mean a really intense flashlight, it's wild the things we're doing with flashlights these days,
yeah,
guys.
Hey, flashlight technologies.
I got an Olight Seeker Pro 4, and if you turn that thing on, I look like the motherfucking neighborhood. I shouldn't have this much power in my hand. It's like theatrical lighting. I'm just carrying it around for Halloween.
By round of applause, because I want to make sure I'm not alone in this. How many of you have felt extreme excitement when you've shined a flashlight and you can see it like on a cloud?
Yeah, okay. That's the best shit. You got any that do
sure
that?
That was a universal
success.
You got any cloud flashlights, Josh?
Maybe. I haven't tested it on a cloud.
What?
Josh, you got to shine this shit on a cloud. It's
Josh,
the best.
Josh, you haven't lived.
Josh, what was the question?
Did you have a question, Josh, or did you just want to shoot the shit about flashlights?
I just like flashlights. No, I have all these flashlights, and most of them have magnets, but I don't know how to use them in my daily life. Like
The magnet thing threw me for a second there, Josh. Like inside of them, or it's part of it.
Part of it.
I used to dread any time I would have to either go into the crawl space under my house for some sort of home project that I was obviously not fucking equipped to do, or up into the attic for the same shit. And then I bought myself some knee pads and gloves and a little headlamp. And then I loved going under the house and in the attic, because all of a sudden I'm a little spelunker now. I'm going on a little adventure and I have everything I need to do it. So I would say get under there. Get under there or over there, above there, because there's stuff happening in your attic or in the crawl space under your house you have no fucking idea about. And a lot of the time it's hornets.
Yeah.
Josh.
And nothing soothes hornets like having a light shined on them.
The brightest lights on the market, yeah. Josh, would you be willing to commit to only having one light on in your house at any given time?
I could do that.
Because that way you can turn one off, flashlight comes on. It's a fun little game to find the next room. Flashlight goes back off, turn the light on. That's fun.
Another thing, you could start like providing it as a service for other people. Because sometimes when it's dark outside, like nighttime, I don't know where the clouds are anymore because it's too dark. And you could use your flashlight to spot clouds for me. And that'd be very exciting. Oh, you know, sometimes I'm outside and it gets a little spooky and I get in my head. And if some helpful stranger ran up with a flashlight shining in my face, and I was like, oh, God, light, I'm so safe now.
Yeah, the light keeps you safe.
It would be cool, Josh, if you could hide them all throughout your home, and then when a storm came, you could stand near one, like no matter where you're at in your house.
Yeah, you have to hide them.
Because you pound on the fucking banister. And like
unroll, like oh, you're shit. So ready for it. Like at any moment, you're always within arm's reach of one flashlight.
You press the button, it fires out, you catch it out of the air. That would rule, you actually, got, Josh. Hey, yeah, do that.
Hey, Josh, you got one of those big mag lights?
I mean, it's pretty big.
Cool, man.
I mean, it doesn't, we're not making it.
That sounds like a real 5'10" thing to say.
Shush. I'm just saying, when you walk around with a mag light, you're like, I'm good for darkness scenarios, or if I have to beat some ass, like a cool security guard guy, I guess.
If you see somebody who's compensating with one of those giant ass mag flashlights, the thing you need to remember about them is that person had to go to the store to buy D's. Because they didn't have D's. They had to go to the store to buy special D batteries to put their stupid big flashlight.
You know who's,
what a waste,
you know,
of time.
Cool and confident? Somebody who's wearing rave gloves with lights on the end of each finger.
Yes.
That person's got nothing to prove.
Hey,
that's
Josh,
right.
Do you got rave gloves?
Oh, I know what I'm getting tomorrow.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, did we help you?
I don't think we did, but we did celebrate you, which is a new angle for us.
Hooray for you, Josh.
You helped.
Thanks, Josh.
So much,
I appreciate you.
Was there someone else? Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi. You're crushing it so far.
I'm so excited about your question.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I thought you were just going to, like, read it yourselves.
No. Do you want us to just do that?
Would you feel more comfortable if we did? Because Griffin's happy to do that.
I mean, I'll tackle it again.
Okay, great.
Well, that's good because I don't know if you know this. We don't know all the details.
That's
yeah,
true.
You got to tell
what
us.
What's your name?
Yvette.
Hi, Yvette.
Hi.
What is your question, Yvette?
So I'm writing a book. I'm writing my first novel.
Congratulations. A lot of book people in here.
Surprising.
That's a good thing for what's coming next.
Good.
So it is very book talk appropriate.
Nice.
And I know what that means.
I got you, Griff. Don't worry. Go ahead.
So it is spicy.
Okay.
There is spice and attractive people with wings and.
Oh, I love that.
Okay,
yeah.
So like angels.
Is it angels?
Could be fae.
Close, you know, maybe the from the other direction.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
Yeah, we got there.
Hey, can I just say, if this is what you're putting on the description on the dust cover, so far so good.
No.
Yeah. I'm buying multiple copies.
The dust cover's just like, so it's pretty spicy. Done got angels, but you know, the other ones.
I buy the fuck out of that.
Yeah, I buy
book.
That book. I gotta know. The mystery's.
It's 50% set. Ellipses.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and the author picture's just you going,
I don't know. So you're writing a demon sex novel. What is the question?
You get it. You get
I
it.
Got
yeah.
You.
My mom keeps asking me what it's about.
Uh-huh. A lot of religious themes, Mom.
Yeah.
She's a Sunday school teacher, so...
Oh, Yvette. Oh, Yvette.
I don't know how to...
So, Mom, you know so how she demons... Knows,
she understands the power of myth.
Yeah.
That is... huge.
Mom, you know how demons are always trying to tempt us in sin.
Yeah.
What my book explores is if we were like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. You could also say it's the hero's journey and it involves the hero.
The hero's horny.
The hero does go on a demonic sex adventure, but at the end, saved and totally good to go.
Yeah.
But then she'll read the whole book. No, I'm not saying you have to make your main character, your main sexual character get saved at the end of your book. Although I think a lot of books would benefit if they ended with the main character getting born again.
Can I just say, Griffin, what you've introduced also is the idea that there's a main character, but a main sexual character, and they're two different people. Yeah. And it's just like interspersed chapters of like, this guy's over here saving the world.
Yeah.
And this one's over here getting his dick wet.
Yeah.
And I can't stress enough, never, the stories are not related.
Never the twain shall meet.
I think you might be surprised that your mom ends up being really proud of you. Because I think that I just think if my kid had a passion like that and they went after it, I'd be so freaking proud. I don't think I'd care what it's about. That's one. Second, there's a lot of people reading fairy sex books you wouldn't think are reading fairy sex books.
That's true. You never
know. I've seen people on like CBS This Morning talking about fairy sex books. It's getting some traction.
It would actually probably at this point be weirder if you said, I'm writing a demon book, and your mom said, lots of fucking, right? And you said,
I don't want that, Mom, very chaste.
And hey, she's like, so hold on, wait. For shit.
Is the concern, I'm just now realizing, not that you are worried about your mother's approval or disapproval, but that you just wicked don't want to have this conversation.
Yeah,
with
no,
your
I just
mom.
Want to. I'm 30. I don't care if she likes it.
Fuck yeah.
Amazing.
You specifically don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, I don't want that conversation.
You should just tell her to leave an Amazon review, and then you just know it's out there somewhere. You don't need to know the star rating that was applied to this review. You just know your mom read it.
I'll tell her not to read it, but leave 5 stars.
Well, that's maybe best case.
If your mom asks what it's about, just say, buy a copy and find out.
Yeah. It gets pretty ribald. Remember, as a kid, you taught me all those different ways of describing back muscles? Well, I think you're going to be very pleased.
Does that help?
Have we helped you?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Thank you so much, Yvette.
Hey, wait. Seriously, when your book comes out, will you tell us?
Tell us when your book comes out.
I will tell you.
Okay,
you
so all right. We will do a free ad for your book when it comes out.
We will not. You can't promise
free
that.
Free ad!
You can't promise that!
I'll do a free ad. Or I'll at least buy 8 copies.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Baz, he, him pronouns.
Hi, Baz. How can we help?
My question is, I recently moved into a house with 5 roommates.
That's okay. A lot.
It's a lot of guys. And when we moved in, there was a bunch of bricks in the backyard, and there was a big brick pile. A pile of bricks.
This was the same bricks, though, right?
Yeah, same
These
same
were not
bricks.
Separate bricks and brick pile.
Yeah, all okay. Uniform bricks. And... Okay. A couple weeks ago, our landlord sends us an email saying, hey guys, I noticed that the bricks were scattered in the backyard. I'd appreciate it if you put the bricks back in the pile. Those bricks are very important to me for construction. And he said...
Was the fur construction, did that seem tacked on? Like maybe...
He was embarrassed that he said that he has important bricks, and then he was like, for a normal reason.
I mean, I don't know what he does with the bricks.
Okay.
And he said, kindly return the bricks to the brick pile. But we didn't scatter the bricks. So
you shouldn't have to return the bricks to the brick pile.
Okay, wait, Baz.
Yeah.
First, this is the delicious mystery you've brought to us, and we're going to solve it here tonight. Is your backyard enclosed?
No.
Oh, so someone could come in and have a brick party.
Which we're... unequipped to answer several questions. Which one are you interested in us attempting? Because I feel like the nature of the bricks is something that looms very large in my mind, even larger than perhaps the perpetrator of the movement is the use of the bricks.
Baz, is there a big, let's say, hole in the wall of the building you live in? I mean, He just hasn't gotten to it yet.
Well, we were thinking about trying to use the bricks to make like a pizza oven.
Time out. Thank
okay, you. Now wait. Time out.
You can't say, oh, we didn't do it. But if we had fucking done it.
Yeah, Baz. There's you and five other, let's just call them what they are, suspects in the house.
Well, we didn't do it
one
yet.
One of y'all. How well do you know these people?
I have to imagine that wholesale brick sellers get orders sometimes for a bunch of bricks. And they're like, is this for a brick pizza oven? And the person on the other line is like, yes. And they say, all right, man, knowing that it's just going to be a brick pile for many, many, many months before they get around to turning it into a pizza cooking device.
How many bricks is this, if you had to guess?
I would say like 300 to 400.
And did all of them get scattered or just some of them?
Just some of them.
Is there enough to build yourself a small house?
Well, there's a pile that's kind of like nicely stacked.
Okay, yeah.
Like a nicely stacked pile. And then there's like maybe a couple smaller piles and then a little scattered bit of bricks around.
I mean, I wish I had a diagram or something. I'm trying to... It's really important. I'm just trying to visualize all these bricks.
Are they... And I'm just thinking about why they might be important to this man. Bricks of cocaine?
Yeah, we didn't clarify...
Hey, did you guys scatter my bricks of cocaine around your yard? Please stack back up my bricks of cocaine.
They're really important to me.
I just don't understand what could be so important about the bricks, but he trusts a bunch of brick flingers to put it back the way
he had it.
People
with big dreams of pizza ovens in their eyes.
And he trusts you all to put it back the special way he like? Like, I don't understand.
He's got his special bricks.
Okay. Has this situation resolved itself before you came here tonight? Or are the bricks still in shambles and the guilt hanging on your head?
We started, the six of us kind of started doing this thing where we would be like, all right, well, whenever we cross through the backyard, we'll take a couple bricks.
That's great.
And put it back in the brick.
That's awesome. Yes. And that's going to be, you're going to get so fucking built from doing that too.
Or at least one of your arms will.
And can I also just say, the last day you guys are there, last day of your lease, really fucking great Jenga game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Could you build 10 small brick piles and be like, I have blessed your crop. Now you have so many brick piles to enjoy.
You could build yourself a little hideout in there so that your landlord couldn't get to you, assuming he's a wolf.
That's true. He'll have some trouble navigating those.
Yeah, he can huff and puff all he wants.
Does that help you think, Baz?
Incredibly helpful.
Thank you so much,
Baz. Good, Baz. Our 100% success rate.
That's what a lot of bricks.
And in case you've never seen a pile of bricks, my friend.
Huh. So that's what bricks look like.
Hello.
Well, they're concrete blocks, but we'll get them next time. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. My name is Mari. They, she.
Hi, Mari. I'm very excited for this.
Yeah. So I live on the ground level of an apartment complex.
Cool.
I have windows, a nice glass patio door.
Brag.
I also have a cat who likes those windows.
Sure.
Yeah. It gets warm there with the sun and whatnot.
Yeah. So I have a problem where my neighbors, children off the street that I don't know, like to look in my windows.
Right.
And my patio door.
To see my
Weird muscular cat.
Now, Mari, if I could ask you, Mari, what is the largest you've ever seen this cat projected on a screen?
Have you seen this cat?
Have you ever seen this cat? You've seen this cat at regular
scale. Like billboard size.
Like, is everybody going to be okay if they see, let's say, this cat a very... It's going to be all right. Okay.
Yeah.
You're all good.
Okay.
All right.
Paul, let's see a picture of this built cat. That one's okay.
That one's okay.
That one's but okay.
Like,
okay. Hold on.
That was just an amuse-bouche.
Can we see the next? There's one of these images where the vascularity makes me want to fucking barf.
Hell yeah.
Look at that shit. Look at the tone and the definition on that fucking cat.
That's a cat who's putting in fucking time at the Iron Temple.
And it's genetics too, Travis. You can't teach all this.
Can you just...
No, but it's also Justin. He knows the pose. Do you see the hold? That's
the heritage.
It's an art form.
You can't train it. That's family. That's love.
Can we get a zoom on the front haunch?
I don't want to.
Look at that shit.
Don't.
That's crazy.
Paul, no, stop, Paul. Too close. It looks like Percy Jackson.
Look at the cat's face, too. That is a calm confidence. The cat fucking knows.
It's like a lightning bolt muscles. It's a cat who lifted. All right. Okay. Amazing, though. Amazing. Look at
the
that
spread.
Shit.
Look at the webbing. This is a perfect feline specimen.
The forearms alone.
Look at that
man.
Fucking... Jesus Christ.
Listen,
this...
Hey, author person, are you paying attention to this? Sexy cat people. It's going to be a thing. I just made it up.
Travis is the first.
Her splayed toes began to curl as... Okay.
Okay.
So listen, this projector couldn't cost more than $20,000. If you set this up outside your home on a loop, people will never bother you again. They can get the goods for free.
Oh, yeah. Children and passersby will no longer bother you by looking in your windows. You know who else won't bother you? Burglars. Because you have the world's strongest, scariest fucking cat. Not scary. I would still fucking pal around with this cat.
So yeah,
what's
that's
cat's
cool.
Name? What's the cat's name?
His name is Obi.
Obi's good,
and
yeah.
I just say, this looks like Obi is about to just stand up and start walking around. Like on two legs, talking to me like, oh, hey, man, I'll get that.
It does actually kind of look like, just with the face and sort of holistically, it looks like Obi is responding to a question like, oh, you need a picture of my muscles for the podcast tonight?
Yeah, no
sure,
problem.
Sure, no problem.
How's this?
Do you want me to spread my paws out really big? Okay, cool. Here it comes.
I literally took this picture today.
Yeah.
Amazing. So what's the problem?
People, random strangers and children are looking in their house.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, shouldn't they get to see it too?
Not in the house.
Well, you can't.
You need to schedule a time where you walk Obi, assuming Obi doesn't just pick you up and carry you around the neighborhood, and say, hey, everybody, from like 10 to 10:30, I'm going to be out there. And then you can see Obi. But in here... This is Obi off the clock.
You should have... Okay. If you don't... You got to have viewing hours if you don't want this to happen. You do need to have a schedule where people can come by for 90 minutes. We were all thinking 90 minutes. Where they can come in and just sort of see
the
cat.
What do you need 90 minutes to
like
see?
Like a 90-minute window every day where people can come in and see the cat.
Come in? Come in, Justin. Come in?
I thought you were saying one person got to come in for 90 minutes.
Dolly Parton will let you tour her childhood home, okay? If she will let you do that,
she doesn't still live there, Justin.
Certainly. You can let people look at your cat for 90 minutes.
That's not one for one, Justin.
It's not even that long. She used to live there.
Are we charging tickets for this interactive
strong... It's just a window. No, it's free.
What?
It's not about the money.
In this economy?
In this economy, Juice.
I love you all
you
so
You know
much.
What I like the most about Obi? Is Obi's not huge, right? Obi is
it's
sinewy.
Definition.
It's a definition thing. Yeah. It's not just bulk. It's a lot of tone. That's so hard to achieve on a cat.
A lot of guys in the Iron Temple that I whale with, they don't know when to stop. They don't have that restraint.
Too huge.
My problem is I just keep whaling and whaling and whaling and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I just don't have the restraint.
And I just keep screaming and screaming. Ah!
He's got those Michael Shannon muscles. He's got those J.K. Simmons muscles. There's a secret under that shirt.
Have you ever fought your cat a little? Just fought your cat for a second to see how you'd fare.
Yeah.
When you arm wrestle your cat, is Obi holding back?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I don't care if we helped. You have the world's strongest cat, and that's amazing for you. You're living
Not
a wonderful...
Not necessarily strongest, just most cut.
Most cut, most toned. But did we help?
Did that help?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, thank you so very much. I believe we have one last person.
We have one more.
Hello, hello.
Hello, my friend.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
My
name is Torin.
Hi, Torin.
My boyfriend is in school for music right now.
Yeah.
And I have heard a lot of people talk about like talking to guys, and then they'll go over to the guy's house, and the guy will just start playing guitar at them.
Yeah, sure.
Serenaded. Yeah.
So my boyfriend doesn't do that, but he does play tuba. So,
Torin, I have to say, this was funny backstage, but now that I've met you and seen how pleasant and soft-spoken you are, it's like extra, extra funny.
Yeah, it's super duper duper funny.
The idea that you would be mid-conversation, and he's like, yeah, absolutely.
You like Matchbox 20?
A lot of people think you can't do Mraz on a tuba.
I don't think you can.
Torin, is your boyfriend here? This is very important.
He's not. He lives in Michigan.
Awesome. Okay. Has this happened? Have you been tuba serenaded?
Yes, so that was my question was, what's the appropriate reaction to a personal one-on-one tuba concert?
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Okay. Are you good at lying?
No.
No?
This is so hard.
This is the hardest question we've ever fielded, baby.
This is so hard. Because I've been on the other side of this and tried to play a song for my wife on guitar. And here's how it goes. I have to pretend like I'm just practicing it first. And then there's definitely a point at which I'm no longer just kind of playing around and definitely playing a song for her, but it has to be adjacent. Because if I make this woman start looking at me while I play guitar, I think the main thing you have to do is avoid eye contact at all costs.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pretend like you don't hear the tuba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's
then,
cool.
And then you're like enjoying it passively. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, that was you playing? I thought that was a record.
I thought that was one of your CDs. I thought that was one of your tuba tapes, babe. You're always trying to get me to listen to your tuba
tapes. It doesn't explain why my ears are bleeding.
You could do something else, like you could play Bellatro on your phone and just kind of nod along like, yeah good.
Vibing. You don't get a lot of candid serenades like this, unfortunately. The ideal scenario is something like the Get Back Beatles documentary when George Harrison's like, boom, 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 boom. And one of the others is like, oh, man, that sounds fucking good. What is that? You just got to sit next to them while they're tuba riffing and be like, yeah, do that one that's like, bump, 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 bump. Can then, you play the one that's like...
blat, blat, blat. What if you, when they started serenading, you was like, wait, play that again. And then you pull out a trombone.
Yeah, what if you lay down a little bit like, just like a little bit of that tuba.
You play the tuba and I'll do some lyrics.
Be like, ooh, is that Chopin's 100 farts?
Yeah, there's not a lot of songs where the tuba is the hero instrument.
No.
At least when someone's playing a guitar, you immediately know what the song is that they're playing. Where someone's playing a tuba and you're like, what's the tuba
also,
line to those songs?
It's hard when they bring their tuba around the campfire and they're like, bump, 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 bump. Today is gonna be the bump. They're gonna bump, 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 bump.
Yeah, if it hadn't been for Obie's cartoon firefighters, they never would have invented the tuba. That's what it was created for.
Now, here's bump, the good bump, news. Bump, bump. It could be worse, Torin. Your boyfriend could be a cymbals player.
Yeah.
At which point your boyfriend would be like, listen to this song.
He is, to his credit, he's a very good tuba player.
I assume that, Torin. Let me make it clear.
Hold on. Let Torin brag a bit.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, that's... Say, all you have to compare it to, I'm guessing, is other songs your boyfriend has played for you.
Pretty much.
So you could always hit your boyfriend with like a, that is the third best one you've done so far. Really very, very, very good. It was better than the other one you did earlier today, which was my least favorite tuba song. Don't try to boost him up. Really give him some good criticism, some good constructive feedback. That's my second favorite tuba song today.
I am pulling deep from my memory of being in middle school band for this comment, but I think this will land. If you say, you know what? I don't care what anyone says. It's way better than hearing a saxophone. And I think that will land so hard.
They need to hear that. Yeah.
Can you say moisten your embouchure? Say you're not moist enough in your embouchure.
Empty your spit valve, babe. That's probably the worst thing about brass instruments that nobody ever talks about.
It doesn't happen with drums.
Doesn't happen with drums. They don't have a spit valve.
I've seen him empty it out before. It is quite gross.
It's like hell on earth. Wait. It's impossible. They should have uninvented them, right? The first time that they were like, and this is the spit valve, they should have found a fire and thrown them all in there and be like, uninvented. Well, forget it. Forget how to do this one.
I know we reference this a lot, but if someone can come up with like a Fremen suit for brass instruments where somehow it feeds back into the player while they're doing it.
That would be amazing.
That's a closed loop.
You could play forever. Imagine.
I'm grooving on my own piss right now.
Boop, 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 boop.
I love that album.
So when my brother said I'm grooving on my own piss, did it help
you when I said that?
Did that help your walk?
That's fucked up. It's true.
It's so weird that that helps you, but you're nodding and giving me two thumbs up like, I love it. Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And thank you all so much. You all have been absolutely incredible. If we could take the house lights down so we can't see you anymore, amazing. We love you, and you've been fantastic. But hi, hello.
I just want to say this has been an amazing way to end the 20 Funk Lord Tour. You guys have been an amazing audience.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you so much.
It's been a wild, bad week, and y'all made it fun tonight.
We have been here so many times to Milwaukee, and it has never not felt like
it rips
an
ass every
it's
fucking
an oasis,
time. Yeah.
Man. It feels so nice. I love it here.
We've ended a lot of like tour weekends in Milwaukee where it's been like the third night of a tour, and every time like you start the show, you're like, and then you come out and do it, and you're like, you guys are giving so much.
I know it sounds like bullshit, but it's we love Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's the last tour. It's the last show of the tour, so we can be honest about all the other cities.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much. Thank you to the Pabs for having us. This place fucking rules. Thank you to Paul and Amanda and Rachel and Sydney Dean, who designed our incredible poster for us.
If you want one, make sure you buy one, okay? You won't be able to get one again.
It's one of my favorites. It's so good. Thank you to Paul and Rachel and Amanda for helping us put on this show. Thank you to our dad, Clint McElroy. Thank you to Montaigne for the use for a theme song, My Life is Better With You. It is a certified club banger.
Griffin, do you want to read the wish?
The final Fungalore wish of the live season.
Let's get a nice sound. This is our last sound bath.
We're going to make it real big. You ready?
Ready? Heard chef.
More. Brain chef.
Heard chef.
Knew it.
I wish my friends would all become lactose intolerant so I'm not alone.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.